Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
Good morning, I'm Scott Nelson of WGTD, and on today's episode of the Fab Lab 10 a.m. show, we explore cross-platform with Art Rock's Wall Poem Project. So John, Steve, let's talk some Fab Lab.
Excellent. Thanks, Scott. I'm John Zern. I am the coordinator for Gateway Industrial Design Fab Lab. I'm going to introduce, well, Steve?
I'm Steve Whitmore, one of the construction sciences instructors over at SC Johnson IMET Center.
Yeah, today we're really lucky. I'm going to let them introduce themselves, but I will just give you a little spoiler. We have Nick Ramsey here, who is a local poet, Kerry Waters. I think cross-platform is a really important concept in Fab Lab, the idea that we don't always pick what we want to build with, but we think of everything and what is the best to build with. And a lot of times you can come up with some really powerful projects by moving between different equipment or building in different ways. In the field of art, we call it correspondence, and I'll let Kerry get into that a little bit more. But the art route has a wall poems project of Racine, which literally collaborates poets with designers, graphic designers, artists, and it's an amazing example of public art that is cross-platform. Steve?
Yeah, and this is why we're so excited for our two guests today, because they're from that organization. Can you tell us a little about, first, who are you? Give us a little bit of background and a little bit of insight of how your journey led us to this point in terms of how did you get involved with this?
I can go first. I'm Kerry Waters. I'm a professor at UW-Parkside in the Department of Art and Design, and I teach upper-level typography and graphic design classes, and I've been collaborating with Nick for, I don't know how many years now, maybe five, maybe more than that, on this project.
Yeah, and I'm Nick Ramsey. I'm I'm one of the members of Art Root. I'm a poet, and I was previously like the lead coordinator for the Wall Poems of Racine project, and now that is taken over by my boy Sharif, and I am the assistant, providing assistance, but she's working right now, so I'm here on her behalf and on Art Root's behalf to talk about the Wall Poems project.
Excellent. And Nick, I know you do a lot with the schools in the area. I always like to point out Racine and Kenosha have a surprisingly strong poet community. I mean, we have nationally recognized poets, and we have poets coming in from all over the place to talk. There's a couple of different organizations. But let's start with Wall Poems Project. Let's just tell everyone what it is and where it came from. And Nick, why don't we start with you? And then Kerry, I'd love your take on it as well.
So we can rewind back to, man, I'm probably going to butcher this, but you can get the actual information at artroot.org. That's just, you know, artroot.org. And the Wall Poems Project is one of the many projects that Art Root does. So Art Root founded somewhere around 2013-14, and it was the brainchild of a bunch of different local artists and art organization representatives. And what they decided to do is bring a bunch of people from different platforms and media into one room and brainstorm. And so when that happened, we all did the whole break out your post-it notes and write ideas down, put them on the board, figure out what's going on. And that was a long time ago. And one of the ideas that came up was this modeling after the wall poems of Charlotte, North Carolina. And they said, do you ever see this over there? You know, we could do that here. And we're like, we sure can do that here. And so that was the spark of it all. And we then collaborated with UW-Parkside and Kerry Waters, and we got that good old cross, you know, pollination or collaboration, and that's kind of like the start of it all. Yeah. You got anything to add on to that?
I do. Yes, they reached out to me, and I'm always open to collaborate with virtually anybody, and Nick's been an amazing collaborator, so that's kind of sustained the project for all of these years. Same thing with all the people in Art Root, and also the business owners too that we've been able to work with to install these murals on their businesses, because that takes a lot of buy-in by the business owner. But I just really enjoy collaborating with people in the community. Right now I'm the faculty director of community-based learning at Parkside, so I really try to facilitate these type of projects for other faculty members too. Not to get us off a little off topic, but it really is something that I'm passionate about and I enjoy doing. And my students love it as well. I think I had a student last semester who said to me as we were working on the project and I'm, you know, critiquing her work, that she never envisioned that she'd go to college and work on a project like this. Not necessarily UW Parkside specifically, but anywhere, any college. So it really has a lot of impact on the students and exposes them to new things, new ways, like you were saying, new materials, scale of the design is completely different than what they would have done in other classes. So it really brings in a lot of new skills into the classroom.
That's great. I mean, it's very empowering to the people who approach it. And Nick, I love what you had to say about, you know, you all get in a room and you start kicking ideas around. And I think, I know I see this all the time because we're a space, it's a shared space where a lot of people are in and they're thinking of a lot of different ideas. So this is kind of the critical thinking that's even kind of moved us forward as a culture, especially in areas like we are in the Fab Lab, but also in that whole bit about correspondence. I mean, the idea of taking poets and connecting them with artists, I mean, it's not super new, and we call it, of course, correspondence in the art. But let's talk a little bit about the mechanics of how it happens. You start with a poem. Do you, you know, then does Nick come to you, Carrie, and say, okay, here's the here's the poems we've got. What do you want to do with your students?
I'll before I jump into like the step-by-step process or the booklet, I want to give a shout out to Deborah Karp, because Deborah Karp is one of the members from ArtRoot, and she was the one that initially connected us with Carrie and Parkside, because she's in the community-based learning realm at Parkside. So that was the first real connection with Carrie. Like, so I want to make sure I acknowledge that.
Where'd you meet Deborah?
So Deborah's part of the ArtRoot.
Okay.
She's a board member. I think she's still a board member for the Racine Arts Council.
Right.
She was at that point in time. And she's an artist herself. So just imagine a room filled with like a dozen people that are like, you know, everything from language arts to, you know, mixed media to, you know, anything you could think of was pretty much represented, and organizations and funding sources too. Yeah.
And I also like to say that Deborah's the first person that reached out to me on campus when I was hired in 2011. She knocked on my door and was like, hey, you want to work on some of these projects that, you know, bring clients into my classroom? And of course, like, that is practical skills for my students that build their resume, et cetera, kind of in this organic way in the classroom. So, you know, I really appreciate the fact that she was one of the first people that reached out to me.
Big ups to Deborah Karp.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep, for sure.
Shout out, plug for Deborah Karp.
Yeah, her ears are twitching when she hears her name on the radio, yeah. Right?
So the process, we'll get into the step-by-step booklet. Basically, it was like, all right, are we going to do this? We're going to do this. Okay, let's research how they have done it before in other cities. And then we started saying, well, what do we need? We need poetry. We need to identify the poets that do the poetry. The difference between the Charlotte program or project and our project is they highlight like nationally known poets. We highlight Racine local poets. Like, all of them are Racine poets. So we had to get together a huge spreadsheet of Racine poets. And so a number of different people from the ArtRoot committee and poets outside that, people representing the Poets Laureate Program, Kenosha Racine Poets Laureate Program, the libraries and whatnot, all put names down on this sheet. So we got this sheet right now. I think it's at like 180 names or something like that. And these are, you know, living, deceased. And then there's a committee, which is kind of an evolving committee. That committee then votes on like the top five poets they'd like to see first. And we take all of those votes and we see if there's any numbers that are like the same votes for the same people. And oftentimes there are. So then we rank them in like a, you know, a 1 through 5 number list. And then from there, we have to obviously get all of the poems from them. So if they're deceased, it's a little bit harder. You either have your collections or you go to the library or you reach out to family members and whatnot. If they're living, you just ask them, like, this is the project. Let's go ahead and get some pieces. They submit 5 excerpts and or we choose 5 excerpts. And then we have a grand total of 25 excerpts. At that point in time, we give those excerpts to Carrie and her students. The students then do what, Carrie?
Well, one thing I, before that process begins, or while you all are doing that part of the process, my students are researching. They're looking at other murals, they're watching some TED Talks about how murals transform a community and how impactful they can be. So while all of that work is going on behind the scenes, my students have been introduced to the project and they're doing their research and collecting samples of inspiration for their potential designs. And
Yeah, down in North Carolina, some of those murals are absolutely amazing. That you look at, if you ever get a chance to go online and see some of those and how they've transformed, just the mural themselves have transformed an area within a town. It's just mind-blowing because you'd never imagine it'd have that type of impact. Mm-hmm. Just a poem on a wall.
Right.
But the way they display it and the way they are able to articulate the concepts through that medium is just mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. I would have to also rewind just a little bit and say we don't only provide the excerpts, but we also have had to do the research to find the buildings and then get the building owner's approval because it costs quite a bit of money to put one of these things up. So we have to have the investment of the building owner and have them sign an agreement. And out of the 6 that are up right now, we've probably had 12, 15 buildings. So like as possibilities, and you can see like the success rate, you know, it's getting better, but it's hard. So we also find the buildings. We get architectural renderings and elevation drawings. Those elevation drawings are then given to Carrie along with the excerpts and the students. And then what happens?
And then my students start the design process, which is always research first. That's our biggest focus in graphic design is doing solid research because the more you know, the more informed you'll be, whether that be about the neighborhood, about the poets, the building. We do a lot of research because some of the buildings are historical buildings and they help provide little nuggets for the students to kind of latch onto and do even further research about how that mural could, how we could integrate history about either the city of Racine or that specific building into the mural in a very subtle way. And lots of the designs that are up right now, you know, those may not be things that just the regular viewer would understand, but there are little things in there that are tied to Racine.
Mm-hmm. One question for you too. Can you explain where are a couple of these at?
Yeah, so I can definitely do that.
Nick knows better.
So Racine has like the uptown, the downtown, the midtown, and I could give you the addresses. I don't know that I have them all memorized, but you can go onto artroot.org /wall poems, and you'll be able to find out all the exact locations. But the first one is on 16th Street, right across from 16th Street Studios, which is a huge artist beehive of a building. There's like 70 art studios there. So that's kind of in the uptown region. It is in the uptown region of Racine. The second one, not far away from there, that is like literally right down the road on Washington Avenue, Highway 20 for many of those that, you know, drive past on the interstate. That's still in uptown. The third one is a kind of a weird one because it's indoors. It's the only indoor one, and it's a collaboration with the Racine Public Library. They wanted one because they saw how cool they were. They put money towards it, so it was a different process. We didn't do the graphic design for that one. We had an artist that was selected to do a design still with a local poet. So that's at the Racine Public Library. The fourth one is in Midtown, which is just down kind of in the valley off of South Memorial. Fifth one is on the way from Midtown into downtown, and then the sixth one is on like the south side, so it's a completely different location.
Right, but these aren't just like somebody took chalk for the sidewalk chalk and marked it on the side of a building, correct? Yeah.
Absolutely not. This is super high quality, Wisconsin-based company, Hallman Lindsay paint, one-shot paint, very durable, long-lasting, professional quality paint.
Yeah, and so, I want to point out to our listeners that if you're in the Racine area, right now it's just the Racine area. We hope to expand, of course. And you can think of a location, or you know a business owner that might have a potential location for a wall poem, you can get in touch with us at Art Root. Now, I want to circle back a little bit because I think, Carrie, it's really amazing to me that research is done when art is done. And I always think of art as being inspirational. You know, mm-hmm. there's the painter up middle of the night, gets inspiration, and then she starts painting and whatever. But it's like, I can't stress enough the idea that, and I know the Fab Lab has worked with poets, and people think, well, wait, how do you get a poet into a Fab Lab to make something? And it's that idea, again, of taking that lateral, intuitive, creative leap. And that's such an important part of thinking. And I know advanced institutions, you know, like Parkside, that's where Carrie's from, and we're from Gateway, encourage people to not only learn the material, but to understand how to make those lateral intuitive leaps. And I know, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention, and we hosted Bonk out at the IMET Center 1 year, and it was great. We invited the poets to come out and just play around in the Fab Lab, maybe try to laser some sort of an actual graphic representation of one of the intents of their poem. But it is so important. And then the murals also convey this to the community, which I think is a really important thing. When you go by a mural, it's an experience, and it can be a powerful experience. And then to be able to tie that back into the tradition of the area and everything that's going on. And I love the research thing you mentioned, Carrie, because it's like now that mural itself has provenance. You know, it has little things about the area that you're bringing up, but it's also a way to navigate around the city and see the beauty of the city that a lot of times we don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, the point of research, that's one thing that kind of differentiates designers from artists. We have a different way of looking at a project. First of all, we have a client, and the client has certain needs, right? For this project, Art Root is our client. Mm-hmm. And we need to consider it. It's not just about us as artists or designers or the poets. We're thinking about a lot of different things at one time. And we've got to address certain things in the community and be respectful of that and how it could impact people in that area, and also the business owners too, right? They want to have something on their building that's either going to not only enhance the community, but also draw attention to their business. I mean, it's like a big glaring look at me sign right on their building, right? And it is, and is potentially a marketing tool for them. But, right. You know, it is the difference between art, and I'm an artist and designer as well. And quite honestly, my graphic design, that influences my art practice, and the research, the type of art that I make is based in research too. Mm-hmm. So I really practice that as an artist as
well. I think it's fair to say a lot of artists do research what they're looking into. Right. But it's a different extent maybe when you're looking at graphic design and you have a client. I know I don't always research something if I'm going to do a piece of art. So,
Yeah, it just depends on the project and, you know, what you're trying to convey, or if there's some concept in your work. That would require a little bit of research so that you're more knowledgeable about it. But yeah, that's a really big part of our process. And then once the students do their research, then we do sketches. We bring in the committee, and they do a critique kind of midway just to give the students some feedback. And I critique in the classroom on a lot of different levels. We'll do group critiques. I have them break up into teams, and they'll critique each other's designs and give their peers feedback. And then we'll have individual meetings and then big group critiques when the committee comes in and gives us feedback. And when the committee comes in to critique, we give them a couple of different, each student has like three designs that they show. And then the group gives feedback. We kind of go around the room and everybody gives some kind of comment. And the purpose of that is to push the design forward so that it can be the best iteration of the design. And that is a process that takes us, what, like a month, month and a half to kind of get through. So.
And the students are tasked with like coming up with the iconography themselves, right? They look at the poems. They have to figure out what they're going to use to represent. They're going to have to figure out, you know, what angle they're coming at it from. Do they want to call it a certain emotion in the poem, or are they going to come at something that's more literal? Mm-hmm. Now, at what point do the business owners actually start in on the process?
Well, I want to also just mention the fact that at one point in time, whatever group it is, they come to the building location. They meet the building owner. They ask the building owner about these historical things. And any no's, like, we don't want this on there, we don't want this on there, we could see something like this maybe, you know, something like that. So there's also the building owner, you know, up front at that point. A lot of times the building owners will come in also as part of the committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The students and I, we visit the location with Nick and Maboya and the business owners, and we ask them questions. We talk about the students and I, maybe after the business owner leaves or sometimes before we get there, we talk about traffic patterns. What's the most visible way of viewing this, you know, this mural that's going to be on the wall? Are there any obstructions that we need to consider? Yeah, like what is there a stoplight right outside, you know, this building, and will people be viewing it from a certain angle? And if they are, the typography that we want to be the readable part of the mural should be in a certain location so that's visible and accessible to the viewer.
That's a good point. I mean, there's a practical reality to deploying artwork. Mm-hmm. Where is it and how does it work? I went to a conference once and they mentioned that Aristotle was one of the first people to call out a difference between idyllic design and the practical reality of actually making it. Mm-hmm. And that's something, I mean, you might get at a location, put up something and then realize, oh, we didn't realize there's a shadow that comes across this thing at 5 o'clock every day. Or so there's the whole practical aspect of getting it up on the wall.
Right.
Now, I'm going to take a sideways leap here, and Scott, you can yell at me if you want, but if you like what you hear on Fab Lab 10 a.m., please let us know. You can reach us at fablab@gtc.edu. This is where Steve usually says, say that again.
This is where I usually say it again.
That's fablab@gtc.edu. Nick, if people are interested in poetry, and I know there's a lot of really great organizations, do you have anywhere you can shout out where they can go and look at different things that are going on?
Yeah, I definitely do. And before I do that, I feel like I always keep remembering things that I should be saying.
Spit it out, man. Spit it out.
Poets, if they're living, they are involved in this process at some point, too. They've come into the critique parts where they're like, that is not what my poem means or my excerpt means. So this is what it means. Or they can ask questions of the poet. We leave it blind up front so they don't, like, look for the coolest poet and, like, you know, pick that one in hopes of, like, you know, rubbing their back a little bit or something like that. But at some point, if the poet is living, they come and participate in the whole process, too. As far as poets and local poets and places to go, I'd have to probably shout out the Kenosha Racine Poets Laureate organization because I'm a member of that. I was a past Racine County Poet Laureate. Way back 10 years ago, but that's krpoets.org, or is it a .com? I think it's .org. Try either one, you know,
krpoets,
Kenosha Racine Poets Laureate. There's also the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets, WFOP, which I like, you know.
Great acronym, right?
WFOP. So that's a cool deal. They have a calendar and all kinds of things. There is just the libraries, man. Go to the 811 section in the libraries.
Right,
if you don't know, man, the 811 section in the libraries, that is where you're going to find your poetry, man, your literature. So, like, you know, go check those, scour the aisles, man. Racine's got a huge poetry selection, and Kenosha does too.
Carrie, tell us about Parkside. Come on.
Oh, well, I was going to say, don't you also host some poetry jams and
things
like that in Racine?
I guess I could just, you know...
Family band, right?
Yeah, I don't plug myself enough, but, you know, it's okay. I run a group called, an organization business called Family Power Music. You can go to familypowermusic.com and find out more information. We're on the different platforms and whatnot. But we do a 2 times a month, second Wednesday, second and fourth Wednesday of the month at Spectrum School of the Arts and Gallery at the DeCoven Center. And that's a lot of poets come out to that.
That's awesome. I know I've seen you guys a couple of times and it's amazing. And Spectrum, they're a great shout out. Definitely undervalued art resource in Racine.
It's a beautiful location right on the shores of Lake Michigan. Spectrum School of the Arts and Gallery. Yeah. Wonderful place.
Carrie, tell us about your program. How do we reach you?
Well, obviously, uwp.edu. You can find out about our university, the Department of Art and Design, if you're interested in what we're doing there. Just to, you know, talk about some of the cool stuff that I'm doing this semester, I'm teaching a class called Think It, Make It, Market It, which kind of flows right into your Fab Lab.
Okay.
And it's kind of this hybrid course that is graphic design, but also art at the same time. So the Think It part is the students come up with a product that they want to manufacture at a small scale, like 25, edition of 25 of something. And then we actually manufacture it in a variety of different ways. And each student has a completely different project. So we're talking... You know, someone might laser cut something, someone may sew tote bags, make earrings and wearables. And then at the end of the semester, we put on a pop-up shop in our foundation gallery at Parkside, and the students sell whatever they make in that class.
Cross-platform, there
I
it is.
I know.
Right there,
well,
right?
that's what I like to do, right? and then they design all the marketing material, you know, the hang tags, and create a logo for their product and all kinds of things. So it's a good opportunity. And the pop-up shop will be in the foundation gallery the week after Thanksgiving, so the campus community can come in there and buy holiday gifts for whoever and and support the students too. And all the money goes directly to the students.
Well, I definitely want to thank our guests, Carrie Waters, Professor Carrie Waters from University of Wisconsin Parkside, Nick Ramsey, all around poet laureate, good guy. And he had a couple other things on there too.
I was hoping to just mention one more thing because we have the huge, I think this is the point of this interview, is we have an unveiling coming up. And we got to make sure we talk about that. So the unveiling, real quick, is set for Sunday, September 17th. It's at 2 p.m. It's at 1111 Washington Avenue, Racine, Wisconsin, 53403. You guys can find us there. That's the number 5 wall poem. We're going to then caravan over to number 6 and unveil that. And please try to come out and join us for that. And the last thing I want to say is these things cost a lot of money. So if you are interested in supporting this program and project, and you are just an individual or a business that doesn't need a tax write-off form and all that stuff, you can make a check to Artroot Inc., or just Artroot. And you can find our information on artroot.org. If you do need a tax-exempt thing, you can make it out to the Racine Arts Council. And they would, you know, then earmark it for the Wall Poems Project.
Now, a question for you. What was the website again for where we can find this unveiling?
Yep, so artroot.org/wallpoems.
And then you can see all about the upcoming unveiling. Which is
all the
huge.
History, the past, the beginning, and there is an events tab there on artroot.org, and you can find that information in the events tab too.
Excellent job, everyone. The Wall Poems Project sounds like an awesome program. I can't wait personally to see some of the cool art in person.
I also would like to mention Art Root Wall Poems of Racine Project is supported by a grant from the Wisconsin Arts Board with funds from the state of Wisconsin, the National Endowment of the Arts, and additional funding was received from the Osborne and Sekich Family Foundation. Also, special thanks to UW Parkside for all their support. Until next time, I'm Scott Nelson for WGTD.